This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Jaywin Gonsalves of New Hope, East Hawaii. In this message entitled Pentecost, Pastor Jaywin explains to us the meaning and significance of Pentecost, as well as three gifts that God gave to the church on that day that continue through today. This message was delivered on June 4th, 2017. Here now is Pastor Jaywin.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, and good morning. It is wonderful, wonderful to see you guys on this beautiful summer day. Isn't it a beautiful summer day, guys? Yeah. Amen. So, Pastor Scott is still away, and he does send his love and his appreciation for all of you guys for being here and being so faithful. And he's sending me a couple selfies that he has, and I have him on a couple missions for myself. I have him on a mission looking for hats for me. And so he's sending me selfies and pictures of hats, and it's so nice to see you, you know, to see him, you know, smiling and having a good time. I know in his heart of hearts, this Sunday, he wants to be here with you all. This is his joy, and I'm not just saying this. This is his joy to fellowship with you guys. So I'm just giving you guys Pastor Scott's love all the way from California. So, we are in a day, okay? This day, a couple thousand years ago, was a significant day. What day is it? What? Who said that? Who said Pentecost? Yeah, Pentecost. Okay, so it is Pentecost. How many of you know what Pentecost is? Good. Very good. Just to let you know, we are a denomination that is Pentecostal. Okay, and so I'll explain that to you. Today, a couple thousand years ago, is Pentecost. If you look on your outline, the word Pentecost comes from the Greek word meaning 50, because this feast came 50 days after Passover. Okay, Passover was that feast. You remember in Exodus where they were going to leave, and they had to kill the animals and slaughter and put the blood on the door. Yeah, you guys remember that? That was the first Passover. And the last Passover feast was fulfilled when Jesus Christ was the Passover lamb himself. And this was 50 days before this. Okay? And so I was thinking, okay, I was like, Pastor Aaron, man, Pastor Aaron is sitting. I wasn't the burger joint again. I was the burger joint. Was the burger joint. We just love the burger joint, that's why. Okay, so we were at the burger joint, and he goes, the Sunday you're speaking is Pentecost. Obviously, we got to speak about Pentecost, right? Because this is one thing. We can do a lot of exciting and fun stuff, okay? We can do a lot of exciting and fun stuff, but we also want you to be educated. Because a lot of doctrine have been made just based on Pentecost. Some people were led astray. Some people were taken advantage of. And a lot of things happen because of these events. And what we want you to be is educated. We do not want you to be uneducated where you do not know or understand or people take advantage of you. So what we like to do here at New Hope East Hawaii is we like to educate you. Amen? We're going to open up today. We're going to open up first by praying. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we get to gather. We thank you for bringing us here safely. We ask that your Holy Spirit would lead us into the word and your words would be spoken and not my own. We ask that you would lead us into the knowledge of what you want us to learn. Open our minds and our heart to the scripture that we may be more productive for you. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So, when we say we are Pentecostal, man, if you ever been to some Pentecostal churches, they can get pretty radical. Okay, so when I was a kid, on Fridays, in order to go out, me and my best friends, we had to go to this church, right? And this church was like, when I say radical, I mean I'm talking like left way radical. Like the only way we could go out is if we spoke in tongues, and we was baptized, if we were slain in the spirit. Yeah, so we'd go there, and we'd be hanging out, and we'd be kind of waiting, tapping our feet, and his mom would be watching. I mean, she'd just watch. She's watching, and we're like, can we leave yet? Can we leave yet? And they're like, nope, nope. And we're like, oh, man. So we found out the trick is you just mumble a bunch of words, and when they pray and they touch your head, you fall down. Okay? So we all fell down. We lay on the ground, right? Like they're praying, right? They're praying and they're pushing your head like this. And then you fall down. And then you fall down and you're lying down and you're just like, you're waiting for, like, as soon as the first person gets up, that's the cue that you can leave already, you know? And so once we did that, we were able to leave, you know? And so when I was like, huh, Pastor Scott was like, hey, you know, this is our denomination and this is, I was like, not. We're not that kind of church. He's like, no, we're not that kind of church. I said, okay, cool. So what I wanted to do was I wanted to study and I wanted to look what the Bible says about these things because I did not want to be uneducated. Amen? So where this event happened was in Acts, okay? So now in Acts, this is like the carry-on from Luke. Luke wrote this book. It was like the sequel to the Gospel of Luke. And so Jesus already had died, right? He died and he resurrected. So now he died, he resurrected, and now we're in the book of Acts. So Jesus came, he spoke to them, and he did all these things. He was back from the dead, okay? He was already back from the dead, and now in Acts 2, verses 1 through 4, it says this, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Like so. So, you know, in the Bible, yeah, they do so much miraculous things. Yeah, you know, when you're reading, yeah, in short stories and throughout the thing, that sometimes we read these things, and after you read them, you're just like, so what, you know? And I'll explain this to you. Imagine this. Back then, it was not okay to believe in Jesus Christ. These guys were in one accord and they were hiding, okay? They wasn't out in the open like this, okay? They were in one house, in one accord, all together, illegally. And what was happening now was Jesus just left, okay? So he just left, he ascended on high. If you read in Acts 1, it says that he was carried up and he left, right? And so he left, they all hiding, and now, imagine this now, okay? Because this, I mean, imagine being in a group like this, and you hear all these wild sounds, and all of these things get real crazy, and thunder, and you kind of get some fear in you, right? So you, all of these things happening, and then these things start speaking. These guys were filled with the Holy Spirit. The word in the Bible that says filled, you think of a cup, right? You think of a cup that's filled, full. Well, the way the Greek word is if you took something like a sail, yeah, and it went, it would fill this thing. And what it would do, it would move something. So what it meant was to be controlled by. When you see filled with the Holy Spirit in the Bible, they're talking about being controlled by the Holy Spirit. So what had happened was they became filled with the Holy Spirit, and as the Spirit gave them utterance, they started speaking in tongues. You know what the natural reaction to that is? It even says it in the Bible. So they said that there were men from all over the world who came. Okay, so they were in different parts of the country. So they spoke Latin, Scythian, Greek, Aramaic. You know, they spoke different language. But it said each one heard the language in their own tongue. So they heard all different languages. And now these guys never speak this language. So one guy said, oh, but these buggers, they drunk. All these guys, they drunk. That's what he said. These guys are all drunk. And so they never planned this out. This was at Pentecost. This was a sign that God had predicted or he had prophesied a long time ago that this was going to happen. And he said, this is going to happen, and this is when you're going to know that I have poured out my Spirit on you. So this tongues was one of the signs that God had changed the dispensation and he had given his Holy Spirit. And number one, The first gift is the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So I talk about three gifts, and I said, hey, this is the gifts that keep on giving, because each gift is always continuing and never diminishing. The first gift is the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so to some people, this is odd. To some people, it's like, duh, right? And it's like, man, no big deal, because we say it so much that it also, sometimes it becomes common. But it wasn't common back then, because before, in the Old Testament, or in the dispensation of the law, which is before Jesus died and rose again, what had happened was the ministry of the Holy Spirit was intermittent. So he would anoint people with his Spirit so that they could accomplish what he set them out to do, and then it would go away. King Saul, for some reason, I love King Saul, even though he's a knucklehead, just like me, right? So King Saul, when God anointed him to do what he wanted to do, he put his Spirit on him. But when Saul blatantly disobeyed God and kind of wanted to be God himself, he removed his Spirit. Okay? King David, a man after my own heart, he said. Yeah? That's what he called David. He said, my friend, this guy is my boy. I love King David. But King David, throughout his kingship, he did some pretty foolish things too. God put his Spirit on David, and that's why David was a mighty king. When David came in and they said, Saul kills his thousands, but David kills his 10,000s. It wasn't David. It was because the Spirit of God. And David knew that he had the anointing of the Spirit. And back in that time, he knew that if he would mess up, that the Spirit would leave. And so what he did was, when he messed up, if you read in the Psalms, yeah, he pleads and he cries with the Lord when he would mess up. And he said, Lord, please do not take your Spirit away from me. And so because of that, some people have created a doctrine that if we fail or we happen to fall into one of our shortcomings, we lose the Spirit of God. But according to the Bible, because of what Jesus Christ did, he now permanently indwells us. If you look at the scriptures on your bulletin, the first scripture is John 15:26. It says, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So Jesus, he's letting them know that when he leaves earth and goes back to heaven, he is going to send a helper. The word is paraclete or parakletos, which is an advocate, a helper. And he says, what he will do is he will testify of me. So he was going to make known who Jesus was. In the second scripture, he says in John 16:7-8, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. You know this verse? It kind of gets me, okay? Because one time when I read this verse, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why is it that they both couldn't be at the same time? Why isn't that they both couldn't just stay? Why one got to go and then one and you send one? What is all of that? Aren't you the God of gods, right? The King of kings and the Lord of lords? Why can't you do that? And he said, because I am a God of order and I do things in this order. And that's why I do what I do. And I said, okay, well, that makes sense to me. And so he says, nevertheless, I got to go in order for him to come. Now think about this. This is a resurrected, when this is happening, okay, when he prophesied this, he knew he was going to be resurrected. And so when he went away, remember when he was ascended on high in Acts 1? You think about this. You can't imagine how famous he was. You can't imagine how much glory and honor and worship he could have received to himself, because he died publicly. Everybody's seen him die on the cross. He died and he rose again. And now he was walking around the earth, talking to people and doing all of these things. So imagine this resurrected guy. I mean, I would like to talk to somebody that was resurrected myself, right? Imagine that. This guy rose from the dead, and he said, now I have to go in order that you can receive the Spirit. And in the third scripture, it says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. At the time of Jesus' ministry, the Spirit was there helping them to understand. But at that time, he did not live in them. He said he dwells with you. Present tense. Right now, he's with you and around. But he will be in you. That time would be after Jesus ascends unto heaven. So when I think about this gift of the permanent indwelling is what causes us to be able to always have this relationship with God. This permanent indwelling is what causes us to always be able to speak to God. This indwelling of the Holy Spirit is what causes us to be able to serve in the capacity which we serve. This is what causes us to be able to do what we do because of the Spirit of God who lives in us. When we understand this, it takes off a lot of self-righteousness, a lot of me, a lot of what I did. But instead, it puts what the Spirit in me does. So this gift, when we serve, when we help, when we do what God calls us to do by the power of the Spirit, and we take no credit, but it is the Spirit in us who does, what we do is, it doesn't diminish that. It doesn't take away from the Spirit that we have, but instead it enhances it. On the second gift, is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:5, Jesus says this. He says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. How many of you know which John they're talking about? Yeah? Isn't that John the Baptist, right? He's talking about John the Baptist. You remember? He was there, and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was the guy who was dressed in camel hair, eating locusts. Yeah? He was Jesus' cousin. He knew that his ministry was going to be the forerunner for Jesus. What they said was, this guy, yeah, he was standing in the wilderness preaching, behold, the kingdom is at hand. And the reason he was doing that was because they have been absent from the Spirit of God and from God for over 400 years because of their blatant disobedience. So now what he was doing was, he was baptizing them in water. What he was doing was he was cleansing them and preparing the way for the Messiah. He was cleansing them and preparing them that they could receive the Messiah that was to come. That baptism was not salvation. And Jesus made that clear. On the second verse, it says, and as this is Peter talking, okay? Just so you guys know. This is Peter talking. He says, and as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In this scripture, Peter, okay, Peter was at the tanner's house, okay? And what had happened was, Peter was a really religious guy, okay? He was like gung-ho for Jesus, but he was kind of like, kind of focused on what he did. And so what he did was, when Jesus gave him a vision, and was all these animals, okay, unclean animals that under the law they couldn't eat. And he told Peter, Peter, rise, kill, eat. Peter said, not so, Lord. I only, that's against your laws, God. Right? He was being religious. He said, no, not I, Lord. I don't eat those unclean animals. We are religious and cool. And so the Lord said, what I have made clean, that's it. They're clean. And they changed Peter's whole perspective on the law and of grace. And so what Peter had to do was, he went out, had these guys that came from Caesarea that came, and they were supposed to take him someplace, okay? And so what he did, he went out and he started witnessing to these guys. And he started telling them about this God and how he died for their sins and how all of these things that happened. And then they said, and then Peter said, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. What had happened was they started speaking in tongues, which at that time in the Acts church was a sign of somebody receiving the Holy Spirit. And this always gets me, yeah, because I'm thinking like, so why is it that every time now that somebody receives the Holy Spirit or gets saved or comes to the understanding and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, then why are they not doing them now? And the Lord said, he took me back to this verse, because in actuality, there are some denominations that believe in order to be saved, you got to speak in tongues. And so I said, you know, I got to research this, right? Because they got to have some type of validity to what they're saying. So I researched this, and I find it to not be true. And the Lord said this to me. He says, you know the Jews? He says, the Jews seek after signs and the Greeks seek after wisdom. And the Lord shows his mercy and his grace upon them by being willing to give them a sign. Because God could have said, no, I God, you guys man, you guys just get it. If not, too bad, so sad, you guys out of luck. But instead, he said he gave them a sign. And the sign was the sign of tongues. And so when they received the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues. And so now, as they were speaking, and you know, and this is one thing that I'm so glad, Pastor Aaron does this. Pastor Aaron does this. I do this myself. And it's and this is one of the scriptures that I say, this is why it's biblical. Sometimes what we do is, you know, we ask if you guys would like to receive the Lord. And so when we explain the gospel, have you ever, when you first received, I never raised my hand. I remember receiving the gospel, and I caught it. And it was like, aha. This is what it takes to be saved. I believe that Jesus Christ came as a man, died on the cross, was buried, and rose again for my sins, and that made me right with God. That was like, aha. Then I became saved. Sometimes we think that we got to say a prayer, we got to ask, you know, we got to do certain things, but that's not biblical. Because these guys, as he was speaking the gospel, they were baptized with the Spirit. They received the knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ. So that was evidence of what he was saying. So, you know, that's kind of why sometimes when we go up, we say, even if you never raise your hand and you receive Jesus, we welcome you to the kingdom of God. Because it does not take the volition of your hand raising or anything like that in order to be saved. I've even heard one guy said, he says, you know, if you don't raise your hand, then you don't really believe. I said, but why is that? And he goes, because if you shame of me, I'm going to be shame of you. And I was like, ooh, that's kind of spooky. But that's not the God that we serve. He said, if you believe it, you receive it, and you're saved. Amen? The third gift is the birth of the church. Okay? The birth of the church came at Pentecost. Before this, there was no church. Okay? Let's just get this straight. Before this incident, before this Pentecost, there was no church. People try and equate the church to the temple, and that's different. It's apples and oranges, okay? The church and the temple is two different things. Their congregation that they got together on those events and holidays and all these different things, that was not church. That was their worship that they were required under the law, okay? We understand church to be the body of Christ. We just choose to worship here at New Hope East Hawaii. We are one body with all believers, all in one accord, everywhere. Brothers and sisters who are worshiping in different churches. We just so happen to be the best church, but congregation. And so it's one of those things where when we understand what the body is, you learn how to use it better. What the church, local church body is, you get to use it better. It's like a tool. If you have this tool And it has many, I got this really cool tool, okay? I do auto body, and I have this tool that I spent like 15 grand on. Pastor Scott set it up for me, and I only know how to use like two functions on the whole thing. And this thing is like the state-of-the-art best dent pulling machine, can do stainless, aluminum, steel, it can do everything. But I only know how to use two functions on this whole thing. And I always say I'm going to make it a point to learn how to use this thing better so I can be more versatile, so it'll serve me better. And it's just like when we understand this tool that we call the body, if we understand this, we learn how to use it better. In the scripture, it says this in 1 Corinthians 12:13, "For by one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit." So he's talking about, because of this spiritual baptism, we have been all formed into one body, all believers into one body. The Corinthians, they was having this problem. What they were doing was they were always into division, yeah? These guys, in this instance, in Corinthians 12, they was arguing about the gift of tongues. Everybody wanted to speak in tongues because that was the one that got them the most recognition. So, you know, they like be noticed, right? They stand up in the congregation here like this. One guy would stand up, start talking in tongues. The next guy would stand up. The next guy stand up. The next guy stand up. Everybody talking in tongues. And Paul said, look, one spirit, one baptism, one body, many different functions. Yeah? He says, that's what he's talking about throughout this whole chapter. He says, plenty of different functions. Not all going to do this. He says, because the body has many different members. And if we all get the members correctly, we're going to function as one well-oiled machine. He said, if everybody was an eye, where would the hearing be? Right? If everybody was on hand, how would we walk around? So he talks about this, yeah? But he says, we all one body. And the other thing, too, was Jews and Greeks. You know, he says, you know, no matter your religion, your nationality, no matter none of these things, where you came from, how long your mom was in the church, how long your dad went served, how long you've been in this church or that church or what you did for the church, he says, by one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, which is the church. In Colossians 1:18, he says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. Let me explain something to you real quick, okay? First of all, we're looking at Jesus, the head of the church. Amen? We all agree on that, right? Okay, so he says this, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead? I just like clear up this scripture with you guys, okay? In the Greek, the firstborn, yeah, they're talking about the one who is chosen, the one of power. You know, like how when you get a firstborn son, he is the one with the right and the heir to everything. That's how it's supposed to be, except in my family, because I'm the youngest and my dad chooses me first. Right, Pop? He just in turn red. Even my mom back there, she's looking at me, she says, you number one, honey. And so, firstborn, they're not talking about Jesus being a created creature, okay? Just to let you guys know, because some people will take this thing out of context and ask you, well, if he's born, then how can he be God? You know, who is this and that? Well, I'm just letting you know that Jesus wasn't born. It is a term that means firstborn. And later on, it says that he may have preeminence. In other words, that he would be above, yeah? So that's what they're talking about. So we are the body. Jesus is the head. In these things, when you think about the church, today, Pastor Scott sent me this video. He's at The Rock in California, okay? Nice place, nice place. He sent me a video of them worshiping this, that. Nowhere as good as our church, though, man. Very nice place, okay? He's having a really good time, and he utilizes the church very well. Not the denomination, not the local body, but the church in general. So when we go away on vacation, we will go to another church. During the week, I fellowship almost, I would say, 5 days out of the week with different people, whether it be at my house, Blaine's drive-in, my office, wherever. We get together and we fellowship amongst believers. Some of them is not part of our church body here, but they are part of the church. And I need to do that because I understand that I can use the church for encouragement, for building up, for sharpening. Yeah, it says iron sharpens iron. So I know what the body of Christ is for. So I utilize it very well. I will sit down, and when we meet, Pastor Aaron guys meet at like 4 o'clock in the morning or something. We meet at 5, you know, because we're a little bit younger. We need a little bit more sleep, right? So we got to go in. We got to go in, you know, about 5. We like to get together before we go to work. We get together with some of the brothers. We go someplace, and we fellowship. This is the body. This is the gift of the church. Back in the day, they had a temple, which people equate to the church but wasn't. They went to the temple and to worship on certain. If they never lived in Jerusalem, they had to travel from far to get to the temple because that was the place of worship. Jesus said, "Gonna come one time where you guys gonna worship God in spirit and in truth." And so we do so wherever there's other believers. We get together, we utilize that in order that we can be encouraged. That's why we do small groups. That's why we do Bible studies. That's why we continually fellowshipping, because we understand what the body is used for. That has been such a great gift that has been given to us that keeps us going strong. I cannot wait all week to show up here on Sunday. I cannot go throughout my whole week and not be around the body, around the church. I cannot go every day and not talk with anybody and say, "Ah, oh, my church is at home. Ah, I watch Creflo Dollar on TV and, you know, Joseph Prince and all these televangelists, and that's enough for me." Because the reason that I come is I love to fellowship with each and every one of you. I love to get to know you. I love to be encouraged by you. I love to learn from you. It is a blessing to have this church. It is a blessing not only to have this church, New Hope East Hawaii, but the blessing that was given to us at the body at large around the world. Because no matter where you go, you always run into some type of Christians. You know, you run into Christians and you get to fellowship with them. If you ever live in the mainland and you're from Hawaii and you like, Pastor Aaron probably knows this. I used to live in Washington, in Seattle. And what I would do is I would head over to the L&L Hawaiian barbecue, right? And everybody thought it was for the food, but the food just sucked, man. Like, it was so bad. It was just terrible. Yeah, I can say that or what? Okay, so it was just horrible, right? I never liked the food. I never liked the food at all. But I would sit down, yeah? I would sit down, and I would eat, and I would stay there for a long time. I would kick back. I would wait for hear somebody talking pidgin, you know? You wait for somebody talk pidgin, yeah? You're like, oh, right there. As soon as you hear him, you're like, "Oh, where are you from?" You know, like, oh, from Big Island, you know? And that's like, oh, it's such a joy. And it's like that in the world as a Christian, you know? Like, when I'm traveling, even if I at work, like, sometimes I get people that come in, and they're like, "Oh, thank you so much. You did a wonderful job. Oh, God bless you." I'm like, "Ooh, where you fellowship? Where you fellowship? Where you? Come, we're going to talk. Come inside. Let's talk a little while," you know? Or if you're sitting on the plane, and sometimes I get so nervous that I got to pray, yeah, before we go. So I'm praying, and sometimes I'm reading my Bible, and then I get somebody, and they're like, "Oh, where you from? Who's your pastor?" Oh, I get so excited because it's one breath of fresh air. It feels so good to be around other believers. You know, that's why we get together on Sunday, but it doesn't stop there. This is the gift that keeps on giving. We just keep on bringing people in, not just here, but anywhere you can, your house, the restaurant, on the side of the road, wherever you can. You know, I'd like you guys to know and understand that this was the significance of Pentecost. This was the start of the church. This is why we do what we do, and this is how we get to do it. I got a final thought. It says in John 10:10, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." All of these things that were set in place, the way he did, so much stuff, yeah, so much stuff set in place the way it is, just so we can function here on earth. We are guaranteed salvation by what Jesus Christ did on the cross. But what about living here on earth? He has given us the power, the means, and the tools to do so. and not only just survive, but be productive and live abundant lives. So as you guys go out into your guys' work days and work weeks and all of these things, I hope that it would make more sense to you when he says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Jaywin Gonzalez of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.